I've got a number of scriptures,
and by the way, I don't have my watch here today, and that's a good thing because I'm not going to worry about that too much. But I love the scripture, and I love to revisit some passages. The first Sunday of 2012, the main topic was Ephesians 5, 15 through 17. I re-look at that passage every year because it you know, just sort of puts into focus and helps me to remember about the fleetingness of life and why I'm here. I'm not here for any reason other than to bring glory to God and to finish what He has for me to do. I was standing here a few minutes ago as we started the service. You may or may not know, sometimes I have this little heart issue, and the doctor, I've been to cardiologist two times. They say it's not an issue. You know, it's just where the valve in there gets open, and your blood loops around, and it makes you feel like you're running a race. And it started happening here a few minutes ago, and I looked over at Christy, and I gave her this. I said, my heart's doing this. And I stood up, and during the middle of the prayer a few minutes ago, it quit. And I can't tell you the sensation when it stops. It's like my whole body gets flooded with blood at one time. And I was standing here thinking, and I thought about, you know, how precious and how delicate life is. And God has something for us to do. And I titled the message this morning, Writing the Next Chapter. Scripture talks quite a bit about moving on, you know, going to the next chapter. The problem we have in life is we are always having to regurgitate the past. And I mean regurgitate. Sometimes it's like, you know, I don't want to see it again. You know, I already saw. I mean, the other day, I don't remember what day it was. Maybe it was Thursday or Friday. There was the girl out there dressed in the Liberty, Statue of Liberty thing, giving it this, you know. The Liberty Tax Service, because now it's tax time. I saw a TurboTax commercial yesterday or the day before, and it said, you know, you deserve to write the story of your life. And they made it seem like such a warm experience. You get to tell the story of the past year to the tax people. I was like, that's not warm at all, you know, because we always have to go back to the past and bring stuff forward. But Paul encourages us to forget that and to move on. It doesn't mean we don't have to deal with it, but don't be in bondage to the past. So let's look at these verses in Ephesians 5. Looking carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but wise, making the best use of your time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and in spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now, I don't know if Paul still does this since Bertie's situation is different, but used to, he would bring her coffee every morning. He's gone way too early now for that. Bertie said, I'll get it myself. Yeah. But back when they both had to get up, I guess at similar times, he would bring her coffee. Do you remember that? And, you know, and I wondered if he brought it in there addressing you with a song in the morning. And she might have said, you know, if you get the song, just bring the coffee. But it is interesting that it talks here about how we greet one another, how we talk to one another. But I want to break down the first couple of verses, and this is sort of the outline, and it's an outline for itself. And we're going to fill in some blanks underneath. Number one, time is limited. Be careful. Do not live unwise. Make the best use of your time because the days are evil. We have been given a sentence of perishing from this life. Therefore, realize that time is limited. Now, we do this. We know it. We understand it. But we don't always grasp the concept that time is limited. This past year, we had a great witness from Bill and Tracy for their friend Craig. Here was Craig, who had all bad stuff in life happening to him. But even the worst jolt was he developed disease, especially this Lou Gehrig's disease. So he's in the hospital there, and of course that ravages everything in your body. He's getting close to death's doorstep, And Bill and Tracy, being a friend to him, kept saying, you know, there's one thing he needs, and that is to know Christ. And he came to know Christ. And this morning, on the way over here, I was just thinking of things to be thankful for, and I was praising God for that. Because the days are evil, they are numbered, we're sentenced to death, but there is life in Jesus Christ. There is victory in Christ. In Psalm 34:9, David writes, "Show me, O Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting is my life." Wouldn't it be nice to know? No, not really. You remember that calculator somebody did a few years ago? It's like, how long, you know, if you do this, then you add it all together and how long you live. Well, I can beat that. And I've told this story about 942 times now. But I was in an insurance class one time in college. And I was there, and the guy was trying to get the concept of actuarial tables and all that stuff over, and it was a summer class, and I was just like, you know, giving it this. And he finally said, he said, you know, one out of every three of you will be dead by a certain age. And he started going around the room. He said, one, two, three, dead. One, two, three, dead. And it didn't bother me until he got to the second row, and he went, one, two, three, and he pointed at me and said, "Dad," you know. And all of a sudden, the class took on more meaning, you know, and it was just kind of a funny way to get the point across. But sometimes we don't realize this. Now, Aaron was here sharing. I mean, tremendous. You know, just over the last few weeks, I had Mary Catherine share with me about a friend of hers in need. And here Aaron is bringing this girl. Isn't it great? We'll encourage these kids to look outside of themselves and notice the needs around them. But here we are, 14 years old, and she's going through stuff that some people never go through in their life. Kicked out. Some of you may have been there. Time is limited. Second, make the most of every opportunity. Divine appointments sometimes don't come back around. Just think of the time we waste doing all sorts of stuff. Just think of the time we waste sinning. You know, it takes a lot to really, you know, get into sin. I mean, it's a hard life to live. Or just think of the time we waste doing good stuff when we could be doing better stuff. It's not that the good stuff is wrong. It's just sometimes there is the opportunity for better stuff. We've had this. First of all, we have a house that has the most cursed plumbing in the world, as you know. Well, we had this faucet in the kitchen. I've replaced it twice, and finally, it was, you know, we took it back to Home Depot. We said, we don't have a receipt. I mean, I yanked the thing out there. I cut the cord. I said, here it is. I said, you know, we don't have a receipt. We bought it here. And she scanned it, and she gave me whatever I told her I paid for it, she gave it to me. No questions asked. And she said, you know, this product has been discontinued. It was that bad. I said, well, yeah, I understand. So anyway, I was putting in the sink, you know, the thing, and you have to cut the water off, and you're under there, and it's just a, you know, mess when you don't know what you're doing, especially. And I got up, and I said, I'm tired. My fingers are tired from holding stuff in place, you know. And I had all this stuff planned to do Friday night, and I sat down, and I said, I'm too tired to do it. Been there? Think of Martha. Martha and Mary were together. And they were doing good stuff because they had guests. And Martha was really working about the house, preparing the meal, preparing the place, whatever she was doing. And she came in and she complained to Jesus. And she said, Jesus, you know, would you please get on to Mary and tell Mary to help me? And Jesus looked at Martha in that day, and he said, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Don't miss opportunities. I'm a person who likes everything in a row, but sometimes the stuff needs to be laid aside because the opportunity is right now. When the little kid comes into the kitchen asking a big question in life, you don't kick the kid out of the kitchen and say, you know, I am washing dishes now. This is more important. No, you don't do that. You put the dishes aside and you sit down eyeball to eyeball and you try to give an answer to the question because the opportunity is there now. Don't miss opportunities. Richard Swenson, a medical doctor, wrote a book in which he discusses one of the major maladies of our time, and it is simply this: anxiety and stress. Overloaded with commitments, overloaded with possessions to take care of. I mean, I was thinking, okay, we got to make sure we get the cars all started and drive them around the block good over the next couple of days. You know, I got to make sure this, that, and the other, because you got to take care of your stuff. We're overloaded in the area of work at times. Anybody want to amen there? We're overloaded with information. It comes and comes and comes. I go to the mailbox and I spend more time destroying mail than I do actually reading mail. I got all these credit card applications and I don't know what the word is, particular about this. Take care of, make sure all the names are cut up and everything so nobody can steal it, you know. Not that anybody would want my identity, but I do it anyway. We're overloaded. So what commitments can we make? And I want to take a little trail here to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3, starting with verse 13, Paul says this. And I love the way he puts it. It makes me feel fantastic because I understand my place when I read it. Not that I have already obtained this. Anybody want to say, absolutely, amen? I'm striving, but I have not obtained. Not that I've already obtained all of this, or have already been made perfect. Has anybody here already been perfect? Yeah. Matter of fact, I'm wondering. Yeah, I said you need to speed up the process a little bit, right? But I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do: forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Bill Vaughn said, youth is when you're allowed to stay up late on New Year's Eve. Middle age is when you're forced to stay up late on New Year's Eve. An optimist stays up to midnight to see the new year in. A pessimist stays up to make sure the old year leaves. And I don't know where you fall at times. But forget what is behind and press on. I talked to somebody the other day, and I'm very sad to report that I don't think this person heard me. This person was telling me all the things about their year. All the things that had happened. And you know, and all the things that were coming up. And I got it. But I said, you know, through all that, you have a lot to give. And the person replied back to me something like, you know, I just am worn out. And I thought, that's sad. Amen. Because you have an opportunity. You have an opportunity. And the opportunity is to this, to get reinvigorated, or we used to call it in church, revival, right? To revive, to do again, to press on toward the goal for which Christ has called you. We all have imperfect past. We all don't have to be a slave to the past. We can forget what is behind. Praise the Lord for that. No matter what our current circumstances are, we can move on to better things. We can move on to doing what Mary did. Now, we got to clean dishes along the way. Got to do it. Got to cut the grass. Got to work. Got to do all that stuff. But even in doing that, I want to be a praise offering for the Lord Jesus Christ as I do it. Amen. I mean, I want to, when I wash my car, to do it unto the Lord. Amen. I want to do all unto Him. This morning, I got out the checkbook. We don't write checks around our house. I write about maybe 80 checks a year. You know, that's the thing. We do everything online. But every week, you know, I write a check to bring to church. And I say, Christy, here's the first check of the year. And as I do that, every time I write the words in and sign my name, whether it's here or giving somewhere else, I say, Lord, this is for you. It's a tithe I pay back to you, or it's a gift I'm giving for you. This is for you. And I want to say this. And this principle came into my mind. If I can't trust God with today, how am I going to trust Him with my eternity? I trust the Lord. So every time I do that, I say, Lord, I'm trusting You with all that I have. Moving on. Moving on is a great thing, but it doesn't happen unless you're determined to move on. I'm going to not be saddled with that. Instead, I'm pressing on to this. The goal is worth the effort. Paul calls the end result not a wage, not a paycheck, but a prize. I press toward the prize. There's not anything like what I'm going to get at the end of this rainbow. There's no pot of gold. I've seen gold. There's no currency or a good meal. All that stuff is wonderful. I'm going to get a prize that is eternal life with Christ Jesus, living into His presence. So I command and urge you to move on. I want to mention two or three things we can do. Number one, we can commit ourselves to forget our failures. Did you fail this year? Press on. Don't get caught up in it. Have you made mistakes in the past? I've made mistakes this morning. Press on. You know, there's a term we use in sports, and not many people are good at this, but a great, especially defensive back in football, is he can play at a higher level if he forgets the play that just finished. Because as a great defensive back, you're going to play great wide receivers. And you know, sometimes they make the play. But you got to say, that was that play. Now it's time for the next play. Sometimes we make mistakes in relationships. And we need to commit ourselves and to give up grudges. Colossians says, Paul says, bear with each other. Forgive each other whatever grievances you have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And I mean, we need to give up the grudges that destroy lives and friendships and split churches. The grudges need to go. We don't have time for those. And press on. Commit yourself to restoring relationships. No, relationships have to be restored. They just don't restore themselves without effort. There may be a phone call you need to make to somebody, or maybe there's a problem here and there. In Romans 12, Paul says, if it is possible, for as it depends on you, be at peace with everyone. And I've had issues with people. I mean, every now and then I get crossways. And I have to say, my bad. My bad. I want to say this. We need to commit ourselves to turn our back on our transgressions. General Pettigrew in the Confederate Army, after the Civil War was completed, he was there and he was a leading general. And one of the things he did after the war was he decided that, you know, maybe this whole issue of slavery was wrong. And when his own personal slaves, which were many, were set free, you know, by law, they still had no place to go. Because just because you have freedom doesn't mean you have anything else. And he said, how can I make it better for these men and women? And he helped find places of employment, places to live, and he gave spots to each of his slaves to help them start their life anew. And I'm going to tell you, there are plenty of people who need to start life anew. Today is the day of a new beginning. Number three, going back to Ephesians, we not only know that time is limited and opportunities are fleeting, we understand what the will of the Lord is. And if you're going to understand something, you must study it. You must, you know, peer into it. Paul says, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. We need to schedule time to pray, to be in the Word of God. You know, the Old Testament in Psalm 1 does not talk about happy or blessed is the person who reads the Word of God. Blessed is the man who listens to the Word of God. All those things are good. He says, blessed is he who meditates on the Word of God. And it becomes part of him. And meditating means I'm going to look deeply into that thing. I'm going to let it become part of me. Meditation is great. You know, as you go out on dates at times. You know, Christy and I were out on a date last night, you know, and we were at a basketball game, you know, and of course, our dates these days, we had Benjamin and Mary Catherine with us. So, you know, so there we were on the date. And after the game was over, it ended about 6:30, the kids wanted to go to eat, and there's only one place they didn't want to go. And it was the place we went to eat, Taco Casa. And we're in there and eating that cheap Mexican food and just loving it, you know, and kids are like, oh, you know. And one reason we like it so much is because it brings back memories. Because it just does. The smell brings back memories. And as I think about things of life, I think that we need to meditate. You know, we used to meditate on one another. Yeah. Peer into each other's eyes. And that was back before I had Chester jaw disease. You know, my chest fell in. All that kind of stuff. And I, you know, and there I was. And she looked at me. And she saw through the skin. And she said, there's somebody in there that I'm attracted to. I will promise you this. If you meditate on the law of the Word of God, you will find something in there that is beautiful. It is not just a guidepost. It becomes the engine which the Holy Spirit uses to run your life. The Holy Spirit cannot operate out of a vacuum. It's hard for Him to convict you of things unless you know the right things to be convicted of. Gary Freeman tells a story about a girl who went to college and hated it. But she told herself, if I can just get through college, you know, if I can just get through this, I will be happy. Then she said, you know, I've gotten through college, and if I could just get married, you know, I'm sure that I can relax and enjoy life. And so she got married. And then she, after getting married, she said, if I could just have kids, I'll finally be complete. And she had kids, and then she said, well, if these kids could just be grown and out of the house. And they started talking, and her husband said, you know, the kids are grown and out of the house, but, you know, you need to go back to work in order to help pay for their college. And she said, if I can just finish paying for their college. And as she was working, they came to her and said, you know, you can quit, you know, now that your kids are out of college. But, you know, if you just go 8 more years, you'll qualify for a pension. And she said, if I could just finish 8 more years, you know, I'll finally be there. And finally, her husband and herself, they both finished and they retired and they sat on the front porch and started looking at the family photo album and dreamed about the good old days that had passed. The opportunities are now, not tomorrow. They are absolutely right now. Now I want to end with this, and it's an acrostic, and it did not come from me. I believe it originated with Andy Stanley, but it's S-T-A-R-T. In Isaiah 43, we see that the Lord says in these verses, and you can read that later, 43, forget about what has happened before. Don't even think about it, but turn the page and write a new chapter. Jesus says in John 10:10, I've come that you might have life and have abundant life, a full bag of life. And I'm telling you, life is today, not tomorrow. So the S-T-A-R-T, and we'll close with this. S. Stop making excuses. Now, I'm the biggest excuse maker in the world. I mean, I can make... As a matter of fact, if you just need excuses, I mean, I could do that for a job. You know, people, you know, excuses hotline, you know, I give it to them, you know. Stop making excuses. I want a fresh start in life. Well, stop talking about it. Do it. Proverbs 28:13. A man who refuses to admit his mistakes can never be successful. But if he confesses and forsakes them, then he gets another chance. Now that's from an English translation, but doesn't that say it well? If you wallow in it, you're going to remain there. But instead, forget that and say, I want to be revived in Christ Jesus. I want to do the first things again. Proverbs 27, a sensible man watches for problems and prepares to meet them, but the fool never looks ahead and he suffers the consequences. I wish that wasn't in there. I'd really, you know, just have everything taken care of, but it's not. Proverbs 15, plans fail without good advice. And you know, sometimes we need to look around us as we stop making excuses and say, where can I find my help? What do I have in life? Well, I'm going to tell you what. If you want to find out what you have in life, remember what some people don't have in life. Now, all of you here today, at least it may not be what it once was, but you can still hear me, right? Unfortunately, you all can still see me. After we finish here, I'm having meatloaf. Anybody else having something that good? I'm going to eat. Because I have all these things about me. I'm rich with the senses. I can touch and feel and smell and taste. And I have some mental capabilities. God has given me a lot. Why would I complain about what I don't have when he says, look at what I have given you? Pride leads to destruction. And pride is when we stand on our own 2 feet thinking we can mold the clay. No, God is the potter, we're the clay. And we need help from others as well. Proverbs 24:10, if you give up when trouble comes, it just shows that you're weak. And I hate to use this English. Christie's grandmother would, not be happy with me. But I ain't giving up. I'm staying in the trench. 2, the T. Take an inventory of your life. Well, we do an inventory in business, and some of you have worked in retail. I know Denise worked in retail. Anybody else work in a retail store? Did you ever do inventory? Now, was that pre-computer? Anybody do? Clipboards, right? There are 13 black blouses, all the stuff. They can zip stuff, but taking inventory is no fun. I go in my closet every now and then, I start taking inventory. And Tracy, you'd be comedy to kind of watch this. I pull everything out and I said, well, I can't fit into these anymore, but I'm going to one day, so I put them back in the closet. And I have this notion, one of these days, one of the side things I'm going to learn to do I'm going to really learn how to tailor clothes. And I said, I'm going to take those in. I'm going to let this out. And I'm going to learn how to sew one of these days, so I keep it. And the closet, I keep moving the same stuff around all the time. You know what I really need to do? Chunk it. Give it. Whatever. Get it out of there. And there are some things in my life, spiritually, I need to get out. So I need to take inventory. Galatians 3:4, Paul says, you've experienced many things. Were these experiences wasted? I certainly hope not. And that's a modern translation as well. You have personal experiences, vocational, educational experiences, spiritual experiences, painful experiences. We were here a few weeks ago and Vicky came and connected with Dad about heart surgery. Because it's a shared experience and shared in the surgery, shared in knowing the surgeon. Isn't it great to have shared experiences? I know something about that. Now, I couldn't talk intelligently about surgery at all. As a matter of fact, when they close the surgery doors, I'm so glad I'm in the waiting room because, if I were in there with y'all, I would be falling out. But, Mary Catherine and I, we talked ballet. Now, I'm not real intelligent about it because I haven't had the shared experience. She goes and she talks to Sharon or maybe some of the girls in there and she says, my toes. I know what you mean because your toes hurt. Because it's a shared experience. I don't have a lot of experience with many things, but I share them with you. I was back there doing my finger pointing to Whitfield a while ago. We were talking about driving. And we were talking about the person who rammed into the back of them in the van. And I said, that always helps us remember to be paying attention when we're driving. He's probably, I've heard that 100 times. But you know how you do, all us older people, we always want to tell because we have the experience. And we want to make sure you do as well. I want to ask 3 questions. And if I go over, that's okay. I won't go over but a minute. Under this second thing. 3 things I want you to take home with you. Number 1, what have you learned? I'm 49 years old. Surely I've learned something. So what have you learned? What experiences do you have that you can use for the kingdom? What life experiences do you have that you can use now to minister to others? Maybe even expand the question, what experiences do you want to have for the future? Now, Bill just completed a lot of academic work. Turned in his last paper. Did you get your grade yet? No. It's coming. And he's going to be ordained this year. Amen. Now, that's a praise the Lord, right? Amen. And so there are experiences he has. Now, he can't recall everything he did in a paper. But those experiences help build us. Christy told me on January 1st or December 31st, I can't wait, she said, this is the year, and she filled in the blank. I don't even want to say what it is yet because I'm not sure I'm going to do it. She said, this is the year you're doing this. You've been talking about it for 10 years. You're doing it this year. And I was like, well, yes, ma'am. You know, 20 years. Yeah, time goes by. The second question. Not what have I learned, but what are my assets? What do you have going for you? Do you have health? By the way, do you ever hear a 20-year-old say to their friends, you know, I'm enjoying good health? Isn't it amazing that we wait until we get older to start talking about health? A 20-year-old, I have good health. I have vigor in life, you know. Have you got freedom? Are you sound in body, sound in mind? Have you got some friends? Have you got the Lord? Have you got a church family who loves you? What do you have? What are your assets? I guarantee if you start listing your assets, the list will be long. Because all we think about are assets that are in the bank. We got tons that are not in the bank. Your third question, who can help me? So what have I learned? What are my assets? And who can help me? Daddy, in his what he said last week, he used the word favor. And the word favor has been used a lot over the past few years, but I want to use it again and say, we need to pray, Lord, as I fast and pray, seeking direction from you, I pray that people come into my life who will favor me in order that I might fulfill what my God-given dream, passion, purpose, whatever it is for you. As a church, Lord, I pray that you have people show us favor. You know what? Now, this is not a money thing. People here at the hotel showed us favor. Favoritism. This wall, this hall, still can't use it. But we can. Because God worked, said they will have favor. I pray that the Lord will help us to know that we need people to help us. All right, bring me to the next letter, S-T-A, act in faith. So we stop making excuses, we take inventory, we find out all that we do have, then we start acting in faith. Jesus said in Matthew 9, according to your faith, it will be done to you. That's a very simple statement, but it's also very powerful. According to your faith, it will be done to you. I don't ask you to repeat, and I'm not going to ask you to, I'm going to say it the third time. According to your faith, it will be done to you. I want a big measure of faith. I want my faith to grow. Now, in Acts chapter 3, I won't read the whole passage there, but James, Peter and John went to the temple at the hour of prayer, and they were there, and there was a guy who had been brought to that gate daily, right? He was lame, and every day he was at the gate called Beautiful. And he would ask for alms. He would ask for money. Every day his mother would drag him to the gate. And Peter and John were there. And they looked at the man. And he was asking for money. And John said, you know, silver and gold we don't have. But we do have this. In the name of Jesus, rise and walk. And I want to tell you this. As you act in faith, you'll be amazed that God fulfills his end of the bargain, I hate to use that term, with exceptional power. Bertie, he was asking for a quarter and he got his feet back. That's pretty good. There, I could tell you of times in my life where I've sat down and really prayed about something. And it's like, I prayed for this and God brought a sledgehammer in and went, whoom, we killed the fly with a sledgehammer. How about that? I've prayed before. I've prayed to close the windows. Enough. I can't even take anymore. Act in faith, and God will always fulfill that action. The R, S-T-A-R, refocus. So here we are. We stop making excuses. We've taken inventory. We act in faith, and we refocus. You see some scriptures there. You can... let me just mention them. You can read them later. Proverbs 4:23, be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. Be careful how you think. Don't think negative thoughts. I don't mean just being a positive person. I mean negative thoughts. You know what I mean. You know, here's that girl and she's always grouchy and she works right close to you and you're always thinking, could she take another job somewhere? And, you know, maybe some rethinking on that. If you've ever had a grouchy waitress, I've never done this, but I know a guy who did. This lady was just really just grouchy, you know, and he had a $50 bill and he asked her, he said, could you take this and get this change because I want to make sure I give you an extra big tip. And he said it was amazing of how her attitude changed. Now, I'm not suggesting we go around doing that, but I'm thinking that sometimes people are negative to us because we think negatively toward them and we don't even realize it. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Refocus your thoughts. Don't get bogged down into the mess of life. Finally, the word T, trust. Now, happy are those who meditate on God's words, like the tree planting by a river and always producing fruit. But trust is a hard thing for us to do. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Zechariah 4:6, you will not succeed by your own strength or power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. By my spirit. Well, I tell you what, if you take these things and you start writing the next chapter of your life, you will be amazed at what God does for you. Out with the old, and I don't mean forgetting, you know, all the good things, but out with the old. And give me a new page to write on. I like new, and God's a God of new. S-T-A-R-T. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the words we see in Scripture. I just ask that you will help each one of us to grab what we have and remember that life is fleeting, and we know that. But we have opportunities that come under our nose every day. Help us not to miss the opportunities because we are busy dealing with our own baggage. But help us to take the baggage and put it away so that we might be ready, willing, and able to meet the opportunities that you present us every day. And in so doing, we will be content, fulfilled, and glorify you in our lives. Praise Jesus. Amen and amen.